When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Don't you ever speak to my mother that way? The sound of his palm connecting with my cheek echoed through the dining room. I stood there, stunned, my hand flying to my burning face. Did you just... You heard me. Apologize. Now. My husband slapped me at a family dinner after his mother said I was too loud. Hi, I'm Romy. Today I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. I met Garrett at a charity fundraiser 4 years ago. He was charming, successful, and came from what seemed like the perfect family. His mother, Eleanor Blackwood, was on the board of several nonprofits. His father, Richard, was a retired judge. They lived in a massive colonial house in the best part of town, and Sunday dinners were a sacred tradition. "You'll love my family," Garrett had said on our third date. "They're very close-knit. Traditional values, you know?" I should have paid more attention to the way he said traditional. The first time I met Eleanor, she looked me up and down like I was livestock at auction. I was wearing my best dress, navy blue and conservative, but her expression suggested I might as well have shown up in a garbage bag. "So you're Romy," she said, not extending her hand. "Garrett says you work in public relations." "Yes, I run campaigns for nonprofit organizations, currently working with the homeless shelter downtown." How charitable. The way she said it made it sound like a disease. Garrett squeezed my hand. "Mom's just protective. She'll warm up to you." She never did. Our wedding was a battle of wills. Eleanor wanted country club elegance. I wanted something more personal. She wanted a specific guest list. I wanted to include my actual friends. Every decision became a negotiation with Garrett caught in the middle, though he usually sided with keeping the peace, which meant giving Eleanor what she wanted. "It's just easier this way," he'd say when I protested another change to our plans. "Mom knows best about these things." The red flags were there, waving frantically. I just chose to see them as quirky family dynamics that would improve with time. They didn't. After we married, the Sunday dinners became mandatory. Every week, without fail, we'd drive to the Blackwood estate for Eleanor's pot roast and judgment. "Romy, dear," Eleanor would say, that fake smile plastered on her face, "don't you think you should consider a more suitable career? Garrett's wife shouldn't need to work. I love my job, Eleanor. I'm making a difference. Yes, but at what cost? Garrett needs a proper home, proper meals, a wife who's available. Garrett would just eat his pot roast, pretending not to hear. The criticisms were constant but subtle. My clothes were too bright. My laugh was too loud. My opinions were too strong. I talked too much about my work. I didn't know the right people. I used the wrong fork once and she acted like I'd committed a federal crime. You have to understand, Garrett would say later. She's from a different generation. She means well. Does she, though? I'd ask. Because it feels like she just doesn't like me. Don't be dramatic, Rami. That's another thing. You're too sensitive. Too sensitive. Too dramatic. Too loud. Too much. Always too something. The breaking point had been building for months. Garrett had been passed over for a promotion at his law firm, and the pressure was getting to him. He'd started drinking more, snapping at me over little things, spending even more time at his mother's house. Maybe if you were more supportive, he'd said one night after three whiskeys, I'd be further in my career. How am I not supportive? I celebrate every win, encourage you constantly. You work too much. A partner at the firm mentioned seeing you at that charity gala when I was working late. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing that your wife has her own career? See, this is what I mean. You always have to argue. That particular Sunday started badly. I'd just landed a huge campaign for a women's shelter, and I was excited. The project would help hundreds of domestic violence survivors get back on their feet. I couldn't wait to share the news. Save it for after dinner, Garrett said as we pulled into his parents' driveway. You know how Mom feels about work talk at the table? Eleanor greeted us at the door wearing pearls and disapproval. Rami, that's quite a bright dress. It was burgundy, hardly neon. Thank you, Eleanor. You look lovely as always. She turned to Garrett. Darling, you look tired. Is everything all right? Work's been stressful, Mom. Of course it has. Come, dinner's ready. The dining room was set with the good china, as always. Richard was already seated, reading something on his phone. Garrett's sister, Victoria, was there with her husband, Charles, the perfect couple in Eleanor's eyes. Victoria didn't work, devoted herself to her children, and never spoke above a whisper. So, Eleanor began as we ate, Victoria was just telling us about the wonderful fundraiser she organized for the private school, raised $30,000? That's impressive, I said genuinely. What was it for? Victoria smiled demurely. New computers for the library? That's wonderful. Actually, I have some exciting news, too. Rami, Eleanor interrupted, would you please pass the salt? Quietly, dear. No need to bang the shaker around. I hadn't banged anything. I passed the salt. As I was saying, I tried again, I landed the Morrison Foundation campaign. Really, Rami? Eleanor's voice cut through. Must you always dominate the conversation? We're trying to have a pleasant family dinner. I've barely said anything. There you go again. So loud, so aggressive. Garrett, darling, doesn't your wife understand proper dinner etiquette? Something in me snapped. 3 years of criticism, of being made to feel small, of watching my husband sit silent while his mother pecked away at my self-esteem. What exactly is improper about sharing good news with family? I asked, setting down my fork. The table went silent. Excuse me? Eleanor's eyes narrowed. I asked what's improper about sharing news. Victoria shared hers. Why can't I share mine? The difference, Eleanor said icily, is that Victoria understands appropriate volume and timing. She doesn't barge into conversations like a bull in a china shop. I didn't barge. I tried to speak twice and was interrupted both times.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Me, Garrett warned. No, I said, turning to him. I've been silent for 3 years while your mother criticizes everything about me. My clothes, my career, my personality. I'm done being quiet. How dare you? Eleanor gasped. In my own home. Yes, how dare I defend myself in your home where I'm constantly made to feel unwelcome despite being part of this family. You are not part of this family. Eleanor stood, her face flushed. You're a loud, crass woman who trapped my son. I trapped him? We dated for 2 years. Enough. Garrett stood too. Romy, apologize to my mother right now. For what? For finally standing up for myself? For being disrespectful, for embarrassing me, for being exactly what she said, too loud, too aggressive, too much like a person instead of a doormat? That's when it happened. Don't you ever speak to my mother that way? The sound of his palm connecting with my cheek echoed through the dining room. I stood there, stunned, my hand flying to my burning face. You heard me. Apologize. Now. The room was frozen. Victoria had her hand over her mouth. Charles was looking at his plate. Richard had finally looked up from his phone. And Eleanor was smiling. I'll be in the car, I said quietly, my cheek throbbing. I grabbed my purse and walked out, my legs shaking. I sat in the passenger seat, my mind racing. He'd hit me. My husband had hit me in front of his entire family, and no one had said a word. My phone buzzed with texts from him. Get back in here. You're embarrassing me more. This is your fault. Stop being dramatic. I called an Uber with trembling fingers. As it pulled up, Garrett came storming out. Where do you think you're going? Away from you. Get in the house. We'll discuss this at home. No. Romy, I'm warning you. Warning me about what? You already hit me. What's next? He grabbed my arm, but the Uber driver, a woman in her 50s, got out of the car. Ma'am, are you okay? Do you need me to call the police? She's fine, Garrett said. This is a private matter. I asked her, not you. The driver looked at me. Honey, you need help? Yes, I whispered. Please. I got in the car, Garrett shouting behind us. The driver, whose name was Patrice, drove me straight to my best friend Naomi's house. You did the right thing, Patrice said as I got out. My ex-husband started with one slap too. Don't go back. Naomi took one look at my face and pulled me inside. What happened? I told her everything. The years of Eleanor's abuse, Garrett's silence, and finally, the slap that ended it all. We're calling the police, she said immediately. It's just a slap. It's assault, Romy, and it's never just a slap. The police took photos of my face, which had a clear handprint. They took my statement. They asked if this had happened before. Not physically, I admitted, but his mother has been emotionally abusive for years, and he's been getting more aggressive lately. Emotional abuse escalates, the officer said gently. You're lucky you left when you did. Garrett called me 47 times that night. The messages ranged from apologetic to threatening. Baby, I'm sorry, I was stressed. You provoked me. Come home so we can talk. You're overreacting. If you don't come back, you'll regret it. No one will believe you. My family has connections. That last one made my decision easier. I called a lawyer the next morning. Document everything, she advised. Every text, every voicemail. We'll need it all. The divorce papers were filed within a week. Garrett was served at his office, which he later said was deliberately humiliating. Good. Eleanor called me once, her voice dripping with venom. You're making a mistake. No one walks away from the Blackwood family. Watch me, I said and hung up. The smear campaign started immediately. Garrett and Eleanor told everyone I was unstable, dramatic, a gold digger who'd tried to tear their family apart. They left out the part where he hit me, of course. But I had receipts, the photos, the police report. the years of texts where Garrett admitted his mother was difficult, but I should try harder. The voicemails where he threatened me after I left. Some people believed them anyway. His colleagues, their country club friends, even some mutual acquaintances chose to side with the prominent Blackwood family over me. I didn't care. The people who mattered knew the truth. My lawyer was brilliant. She documented Garrett's controlling behavior, his mother's emotional abuse, and the escalation to physical violence. When Garrett's lawyer tried to claim I was lying, we presented the evidence. "Would you like to explain these threatening messages, Mr. Blackwood?" my lawyer asked during the deposition. Garrett shifted uncomfortably. "I was upset. She left me at my parents' house. After you struck her. She was being disrespectful to my mother." "So you felt physical violence was justified?" "I didn't mean to hurt her." "But you did mean to hit her?" his lawyer objected, but the damage was done. He'd essentially admitted to assault. The divorce was finalized 6 months later. I got a restraining order against both Garrett and Eleanor after she showed up at my office to talk sense into me. But the real vindication came from an unexpected source. Victoria called me a year after the divorce. "I need to talk to you," she said. "Can we meet?" We met at a coffee shop downtown. She looked different, tired, thinner, but also somehow more alive. "I left Charles," she said without preamble. "What?" "After what happened with you and Garrett, I started paying attention, really looking at my own marriage. The way Charles controls everything I do, the way I'm not allowed to work, to have opinions, to be anything but his perfect wife. Victoria, he's never hit me," she continued. "But watching Garrett hit you, seeing Mom smile about it, I realized I was drowning too, just more quietly." "What did Eleanor say?" Victoria laughed bitterly. "She disowned me, said I was corrupted by your influence, that I was destroying the family values she worked so hard to instill. I'm sorry." "Don't be. You opened my eyes. When you stood up to her that night, it was the first time anyone had. And when you left after Garrett hit you, you showed me it was possible to leave." She was staying with friends, rebuilding her life, looking for a job for the first time in 10 years. "It's terrifying," she admitted, "but also exhilarating. I'm 35 and finally learning who I am outside of being someone's wife and Eleanor's puppet." We stayed in touch after that. Victoria struggled but persevered, eventually landing a job in event planning. She was good at it. All those years of organizing charity functions had taught her skills she didn't know she had. Eleanor's perfect family was crumbling. Richard filed for divorce 2 years after I left, citing irreconcilable differences. The real reason, according to Victoria, was that he'd been having an affair for years and was tired of Eleanor's controlling behavior. "She always said family was everything," Victoria told me over lunch, "but she drove everyone away with her need to control us." Garrett never remarried. Last I heard, he was still living in the house Eleanor bought him after the divorce, drinking too much and blaming everyone else for his problems. His career stalled after word got around about the domestic violence charge. Turns out, law firms don't like attorneys who assault their spouses. "He calls sometimes," Victoria said. "Drunk usually, wanting to know if I've talked to you. He's obsessed with the idea that you ruined his life." "He ruined his own life the moment he raised his hand to me. He'll never see it that way. Neither will Mom. They're both stuck in their own delusions. As for me, I thrived. Free from the constant criticism and walking on eggshells, my career soared. I started my own PR firm specializing in nonprofits and social justice organizations. I bought a little house with a garden where no one judges my flowers for being too bright. I even started dating again, carefully and slowly. Marcus was different from Garrett in every way. Supportive, kind, and when he met his family, they welcomed me warmly. No tests, no criticism, just acceptance. My mom can be a bit much, he warned before I met them. She might hug you a lot. That sounds wonderful, I said, meaning it. The first time we had dinner with his family, I accidentally knocked over a glass of water, soaking the tablecloth. "Oh no, I'm so sorry." I immediately started dabbing at it with my napkin, that old fear rising up. "Honey, it's just water," his mother laughed, tossing me a dish towel. "Last week Marcus knocked over an entire pitcher of margaritas. Now that was a mess." No criticism, no pursed lips, no silent judgment, just understanding and humor. "You okay?" Marcus asked quietly, noticing my shock. "Yeah," I said, realizing I meant it. "I'm good." 3 years after that slap, I ran into Eleanor at a grocery store. She looked older, smaller somehow. Her perfect outfit was still impeccable, but there was something hollow about her. She saw me and started to approach, then seemed to think better of it. We stood there for a moment, frozen in the cereal aisle. "You destroyed my family," she said finally. "No, Eleanor, you did that all by yourself." I walked away, leaving her standing there among the cornflakes and shattered illusions. That night, Marcus and I cooked dinner together in my little kitchen. We laughed over burnt garlic bread and danced to music from his phone. I was louder than Eleanor would have approved of, more colorful than she'd have liked, more myself than I'd ever been allowed to be in that suffocating house. "What are you thinking about?" Marcus asked, noticing my distant expression. "Just how different life can be when you're with people who actually like you for who you are." "Well, I love you for who you are, even if you do burn garlic bread." "Especially because I burn garlic bread?" "Especially because of that." We laughed, and I didn't worry about being too loud. The slap that was meant to silence me had instead set me free. It revealed the truth about the Blackwood family, that their perfection was poison, their traditions were control, and their love came with conditions I could never meet. Some people still whisper about the dramatic scene at the Blackwood dinner table, how I destroyed a prominent family, how I couldn't handle their lifestyle. Let them whisper. I know the truth. I survived. I rebuilt. I found people who love me, not despite my loudness, but because of it. And Eleanor? She's left with her perfect china and her empty table, surrounded by the silence she always demanded. Sometimes the best revenge isn't about making someone pay. It's about walking away and building a life so good that their absence is the gift that keeps on giving. So I ask you, have you ever had to choose between keeping the peace and keeping yourself? What made you finally stand up and say enough?